Turn to Psalm 121, Psalm 121. This morning I announced the title of the sermon for tonight, and it is this: God, a very present help. God, a very present help. Psalm 121, find verse number 1, then stand with me if you will. We're just going to read a couple of verses. I'll refer to many throughout the sermon, but I'm going to read out loud. You follow along silently. Psalm 121, starting with verse number 1, where the Bible says this: I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight with thy presence. Thank you that you're a God that helps. And might we turn to you for that help. Help us to realize what a great God you are, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that verse. You may have a seat there. I love that verse. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Got to tell you a quick story and a little bit what prompted my thinking for this sermon. We were having our grand opening Sunday here for our new building, and Brother Armstrong was helping lead a cleanup day for our grounds, where we did some extra work outdoors and got everything ready. And as you can see, across the front of the building, the side of the building, we had intent and accomplished the planting of a whole bunch of beautiful mums. Well, we went to, I had someone helping me, and one of the ladies that were going to plant the mums, she came over and she said, "Preacher," she said, "right there, and that planter, there are ants. Matter of fact, I think there's more ants in that thing than there is dirt." Well, if you've ever worked around me, when I'm ready to do something, I do it. And I just throw myself into it, sometimes in a stupid way, but I do it. Well, I went over, I said, "Well, don't you worry about planting anything in any of those, go ahead and plant all the other planters and leave that one for me and I'll plant. I'll go over there and I'll take care of that one." So I went over, and it was full of ants. Well, I stuck my arms into it and I started moving the soil so that I could get those plants taken care of. And so in just a few minutes, I had fire ants all about up to my elbow on both sides. Well, they're little, and how much damage could they possibly do? And at first, the fire ants and I were getting along just fine. There was no problem. And then I must have irritated them in some way, because it wasn't long until they were biting me or stinging me or doing whatever they do to you. I can just tell you this, it stung like fire, so I think I know where they get their name. And boy, I started killing them and trying to get them off of me. I won't show it to you, but I'm scarred for life. I've got these bite marks all over my wrists and everything. It hurt, to say the least. And as I'm going through this process, it's a little embarrassing. To be honest, if I pull my sleeves up, it looks like, you know, I've had the measles or something. I've got a disease from outer space where it's all been healing. Now, I did that to myself, but at the same time, something happened to me. And then when it began to heal, itch, oh my, it would itch, and it would keep me awake at night. And it was just a mess. Well, for the first few days, I was flat out miserable. So I went to CVS and I was looking for anything. I started at the liquor counter trying to find something that would get me through this thing. And if you're a guest, I'm just kidding. But I went back to where they had their stuff for poison ivy and sumac, I think it's called, and poison oak. And finally, I seen a couple of products that said helps with bug bites. And that word helps almost jumped off that container to me. I said, "I'll take them," and I'm grabbing everything that said helps bug bites, and I put it in a basket. You say, why? I wanted help. And I wanted it desperately. And you know, in life, there are things that happen to us, and it hurts, and it's embarrassing sometimes. And sometimes we do it to ourselves, and sometimes it just happens to us. It can keep you awake. It can irritate your life. And I'm glad that we have a God. When you go to the pharmacy of God's good intentions for His people, there's something there on the shelf that says, help. Help here. Help available. I read to you, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I'm going to read another passage of Scripture to you. You don't necessarily have to turn to it, but let me read it to you quickly. It's found in Exodus chapter 18. Verse number 1 says, when Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the name of the other was Eliezer. For the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Let me explain. I want to explain that verse to you, if I could. The passage of Scripture makes reference to a fellow named Jethro. Jethro was a priest, and Jethro was the father-in-law to Moses. This is not Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies. This is Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. And Moses had been separated from his wife and kids for a time, and I don't mean negatively, I mean they were just in another place. And so Jethro takes Moses' wife and his two sons, and her name was Zipporah. The sons were Gershom and Eliezer. And Jethro says, I'm going to take you back to Moses. And there's something very interesting said. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses. So this is what happened. Moses' father-in-law hears about all the help that God had given Moses. That's a very interesting thing. In other words, Moses' testimony was that God helps that guy. God helps that person. And Jethro was amazed at all the ways that God had helped Moses. Now, there's an interesting thing here. In verse number 4 of Exodus 18, it says, and the name of the other was Eliezer. Now, this is one of Moses' sons. His name, and it says, for the God of my father said, he was mine help. Moses had named his second son Eliezer, which means God is my help. Now, why in the world would Moses name one of his sons, God is my help? Well, that's made very clear because it said there, it said, and the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father said he was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Now, let me explain. Moses had named his son a name that in definition meant God is my help. Why? Because Moses was thinking about how God had delivered Moses and the children of Israel from the sword of Pharaoh. Let me give you a real quick piece of history. Moses and God's children were in captivity in Egypt to Pharaoh. And God, through a process of occurrences, helps Moses to get out of that captivity, takes him through the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army comes after them and tries to destroy them, but God rises up and defends them. And so God spared Moses from Pharaoh, and when Moses gets on the other side of the Red Sea and he has a son, he names his son Eliezer, which means God helped us. And so in tribute to the help from God, he names his son something that means God is my helper. Now that's the whole story. I think it's a wonderful thing that Moses remembered how God helped him. You know, it would help us all if we could remember that. You know, there have been times when you needed help and God stepped in and helped you. Now, you might need help again. And if you're a little frantic, could I tell you that the same God that helped you last time is as capable today as He's ever been, and He can help you again. When I went down to CVS and it said, helps bug bites, I cannot begin to tell you how miserable I was, and I needed help from the ants in my life. Mrs. Owens needed me to get help. Because at 1 o'clock in the morning, you ever seen a dog with fleas off in the corner with his back leg going, Mrs. Owens is waking me up and said, "You're scratching like a dog, man. You got to do something with those bug bites." She needed me to get help, and I needed to get help. I'm so glad that help was available, and I've got good news for God's people tonight. Help's available. Help is available. There are some people in the Bible that experienced the help of God. I think of Samuel. In 1 Samuel 7:12, it says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, 'Hitherto hath the Lord helped us.'" What had happened is God's people were outnumbered, but God comes, and He comes in mighty power, and He takes care of a situation where if God didn't help, they were outnumbered, they would have been defeated. And let me tell you something. If you feel outnumbered at something in life, your God can help you through that. You say, why? Because you and God make a majority. If God's on your side, you've got the mighty army that it takes to make it through whatever you need help with. There's another story about David when he was struggling with a hurt that he suffered from his own son, Absalom. In Psalm 27:9 it says, David said, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help." He had a son named Absalom, and Absalom had hurt him. And God said, "I really need help with this hurt that I suffered from my own family member." Let me tell you something. Not only can God come to you like He did to Samuel when he was outnumbered and help you, but God can come to you when a family member hurts you. The people that are supposed to love you the most and mean the most to you and be there for you, when they hurt you, I've got good news. God can help you through that. Because God helped David with a hurt from his own son Absalom that devastated him. The Apostle Paul speaks of the help that he received from God. Acts 26:22, Paul said, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." And let me tell you, Paul had been through a lot. But I really believe the help that Paul is talking about is Paul had a pretty empty life. Paul was a professional, but his life was empty. And to be honest, Paul wasn't a good guy before he got saved. And one day God saved him and helped him and gave him a cause. So here is Paul, and Paul said, "Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day." Well, for something to continue, it had to have a start. And the start for the Apostle Paul was on the Damascus Road when he was a dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing, hopeless, helpless sinner. And Jesus reached down and saved his sin-sick soul. And he said, "You know what? From that day on, I got the help that I needed." So look, there's help when you feel like you're outnumbered. There's help when even your family let you down. There's help when your life is hopeless and helpless like the Apostle Paul's was. Now, if I may, let me talk to you a little more practically about this help that we have from the Lord. Let me say this. God is a very present help, the Bible says. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." When we need God, He is present immediately. If you must call others for help, their time to get to you could delay that help. I was reading the other day and had a little newspaper article, and this is an oddity, but I was reading where someone had actually, they thought they were having a heart attack. They were working in their office alone. It was not a home business, but it was a one-man show, and they were working in their office. They thought they were having a heart attack. They made a call to get help. The help did not come. They passed away at their desk. 5 days later, somebody found them. Now, the help showed up. That's a little late. Well, I've got news for you. God doesn't show up late. He is a very present help. If you call a fireman, he's going to come to you as quickly as he can, but he can't get there as fast as Jesus. When you need a policeman, he'll get to you as quick as he can, but not as fast as Jesus. When you need an ambulance, they'll get to you as quickly as they can, but not as quickly as Jesus can get to you. When you need the preacher, he'll get to you as fast as he can. But folks, the preacher can never take the place of Jesus Christ in your life. Jesus is the very present help. For the saved, He helps us with our lives, and He's available immediately. No call waiting. You don't have to leave something on the answering machine because He said, "I'm too busy." And folks, when others can't get to us fast enough, Jesus always can. He is a very present help. Then, God will help us in our times of infirmity. Let me read to you. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So there's the word help again. He helps our infirmities. The word infirmities means times of physical illness, weakness, sickness, or disease. Now, folks, I'm a firm believer that doctors can give you something that will help you. A nurse could give you something that would help you. But just so you all know, all healing comes from above. God may use a doctor to help you. God may use a nurse to help you. God may use a medicine to help you. But the help cometh from above. And God can help us in the times of our infirmities. I actually prayed and I said, God, you created these fire ants and I've got news for you. I need help. This is driving me crazy. It's driving me batty. I need help. And I want to testify tonight. I thank God for the healing power of Jesus Christ because my arms are scarred up from where the ants came after me. But it does not itch anymore. I'm not awake anymore and I'm healing. And you don't need to send me flowers or anything. I'll be fine. But I thank God it was an infirmity. And the truth is there wasn't a whole lot I could do about it, but God met the need of my infirmity. I was thinking of Mrs. Croom. She's had a lot of difficulties with her health. Thank God, God will help her infirmities, the weaknesses of her body, her physical illness. Brother John Baralt, good man in our church, his body's full of tumors, and none that we think will kill him anytime soon, but obviously we'll all pass away someday. But Brother John's a pretty sick man. But thank God, God can help his infirmities. Mrs. Caldwell is visiting family out west, but most people just would not realize. She's had numerous operations on her back, and she has Lyme's disease, and I could go on. She has had a lot of difficulties with her health. She'll almost every day send me a text, and she'll say, Preacher, please pray. My body aches from head to toe, and some mornings it's hard for her to get out of bed. And those are real aches and pains. I've helped her for years, but you know something? God helps our infirmities. If tonight you say, it's my body and it's illness that I deal with, God will help your infirmities. And when He does, thank Him for it. Thank God we have a help in our God. So God is a very present help. He helps our infirmities, but only that. God provides help when we face the fear of man. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We live in days, and they're sad days because of the evil. It doesn't bother people to spread a rumor that's not true. It doesn't bother people to be vengeful, vindictive, and hateful. I've never had any desire. Well, I suppose when I was younger, I had to deal with this, but since I got saved, I've tried very hard to have a desire to hurt no one. I don't want to hurt people. I want to help people. I don't want to hate people. I want to love people. But, you know, the human race, they don't do real good with that. People who are out for revenge, just hateful and mean. And I'm not just talking about people on the outside of the church that mistreat you. I'm talking about sometimes even family members that mistreat you. And I'm not just talking about family members that are distant family members that you only see at the family reunion. I've watched in families. I mean, talk about living in the same household. Hateful, mean, nasty, evil behavior. But let me tell you something. If you ever face that, if you face that from the outside world, distant family, or even close family, God is a help when we have fears of what man would do to us. Thank God, He's our helper. And sometimes we just don't know where to get help when we fear what man will do unto us. But God knows. And God's our helper in that time. Not only that, God helps. And I love it. You know, time and time again in the Bible, the Bible talks about how God will help those and maybe help those that need a little extra help. For instance, God is a helper to the fatherless. And I'm glad of that. It says in Psalm 10, verse 14, "Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless." To a widow or a widower or to a parent that rears their child alone, God is a very present help. God wants to help. And unless someone's ever faced being alone and trying to rear children, you just wouldn't understand it. But I'm glad that God looks down and says, you know what, that person needs some extra help. And I will be for them. I'll be there for them emotionally. I'll be for them them spiritual, what they need. And your Heavenly Father wants to help the hurting. And so even the children, I think it's good that children hear that God has a special interest when in their family the help that they need doesn't seem to be as ample as what they wish. Don't forget, kids, God is your help. God is your help. So God helps the fatherless. And God is a very present help. God helps us in the times of our infirmity. God helps us in the time when man gives us a reason to fear. Not only that, God is our helper in the time of need. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I understand the time of need. The time of need could be a lot of different things. And there are people that will help us, but nobody's a very present help. No one has all help capability like God. So if I throw out to you today, I ask the question, what is your need? Well, whatever it is, God is your help in the time of your need. What need do you have that you can't share with others? Sometimes it's embarrassing. Sometimes it's embarrassing because we've got a self-inflicted mess on our hands. You say, I just can't ask anybody for help because it's too embarrassing. We had our men's prayer breakfast Saturday morning. And by the way, the folks that prepared the meal did a fabulous job. And there was a lot of food and everybody had a great time. We went around and took some prayer requests. And on more than one occasion, a man would raise his hand and he'd say, "Pastor, I have a request, but it's a private request." Now, what's that private request? Well, God knows what it is. That is a need for help that maybe nobody's going to know about. And I believe everybody under the sound of my voice that is teenage years and above, they have needs that they're not going to tell others about. But so you know, God will help your need. I'm glad I don't have a God that's a big pie in the sky kind of a God that doesn't have time for the human race and he's uninterested in what's going on down here. He knows he has the very hairs of your head counted. He knows even when a sparrow falls to the ground, God is interested in your need. What dirt burden do you bear? You don't have to bear it alone. Even if some human being won't come and help you with your heartache or burden, God will help your need. What need do you have that others won't understand? You know, sometimes we don't share our burden or our need with another human being because they'll judge us. They really don't understand everything that is involved. And so we don't share it. Can I tell you something? You can share it all with Jesus. You can share it all. You can go to Him. He will not judge you. He will help. Maybe there's a need that is just so big you say, "It'll take God to handle this one." Well, then He can. He can. There's a song, "Is there anything too hard for God to do? Is there aught beyond His power? He commanded us to open wide our mouths, and He can meet that need, or we can ask that need this hour." God wants to meet our need. So He helps in the time of need. In the time when it's an embarrassing need, in the time that it's a private need, in the time that it's such a big need, He can help in the time of need. So He's a very present help. That means He can get there immediately. And if it's with an infirmity, with your health, He created you. He's the one that can help. When it's because you fear what man might do or has done to you, He can help. If it's with the fatherless or if it's with young people that don't have the leadership and life that they need, God can help. In the time of need, not only that. In our time of trouble, He helps us. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Are you in trouble? God helps people that are in trouble. You know, I'm saddened at the Christian attitude. There are a lot of Christians say, well, I'll help you as long as you're not in trouble. well, I'll help you if you are in trouble. Now, you all know this, and if you don't, you need to learn it. I'm going to preach the stuffings out of you and tell you to walk right and live right, and don't go out and mess up your life, and don't get into trouble, and don't do wrong things, and don't sin against God. Don't you do that now. But if you ever have trouble, you come see me. You say, are you going to tell me, I told you so? No, you'll tell yourself that. I'll just try to help you. I want to help you when you're right, and I want to help you when you're wrong. See, where'd you learn that? That's how God does it for me. He helps me when I'm right, and on the rare occasion that I'm right, He helps. But on the abundant occasion that I'm wrong, He helps there too. He knows how to help. Are you in trouble emotionally? God wants to help. Are you in trouble in bitterness? God can help you through that. Is your grieving out of control? God can help you with that. Are your fears out of control? God can help you with that. Are you experiencing a bit of hopelessness in life? God can help you with that. He is a very present help. Now, I needed help when those ants bit me. And you say, that's such a little thing. Oh, I know, but so you know, God will help you with the little things too. God's not just interested in the big things in your life. He's interested in the little things as well. Hey, listen to this. God is a helper when we cause our own hurt. Listen to Hosea chapter 13, verse number 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. God said, you did exactly what I told you not to do, and this is a self-inflicted pain. You're depressed and you brought it on. You're out of money and you brought it on. You're hurt and you brought it on. And you're hopeless and you brought it on yourself. And God said, you shouldn't have done that, but may I help? May I help? Your decision hurt you. God will help. Your sin destroyed part of your life, but God will help. Your foolishness hurt you, but God will love you and help you. You hurt you deeply, but God will help. You have become your own worst enemy, but God will help. I'm glad God said, Israel, you have made a mess of yourself, but I'd still help you. I'll still help you. Not only that, God's a helper to those who no one else will help. Psalms 72, verse 12, it says, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. I am so glad. When the whole human race betrays you, all the quote, unquote, good Christians, the ones that say, I'll love you unconditionally, you did what? Get away from me. Boy, we're hypocrites. We talk about unconditional love, but very few ever really practice it. Very few do. But I'll tell you something. God said, even him that hath no helper. God said, when no one else will help, I will still help. If you feel nobody else cares, God does. If you feel no one else will give you help, God will. When you seem to be repulsive to man, God will help. God will help. Oh, David messed up terribly bad, but God said, I'll help. Noah got drunk and did some pretty crude things as a result of his getting drunk. But God helped. Peter denied even knowing Jesus Christ. God helped him. Moses killed a man in anger. God helped him. Folks, God won't give up on you. He will help you. I like this last verse and we're done. Psalm 89:19 tells us God helps strong people. Strong people. Psalm 89:19 says, then thou speakest in vision to the Holy One and says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. You know that sometimes leadership, they're not sure about help. Dads, and I grew up in a generation where dads were strong in a family. They were not mamby-pamby whiny boys that scared mom and the kids with every little turn of events. I grew up in a generation where a man was a man, and a man did what men do. And they took the brunt of things and carried the load and did it gladly. They didn't whine about it, and they didn't have to have everybody to help them get everything done. That was the leadership of the generation that I grew up with. We need that leadership in America again, by the way. But, you know, when a man is a strong man, help is awkward. Help is, we're not sure of it. Let me tell you something. Here it says, he said, I have laid help upon the one that is mighty. Moms, we sometimes, being a mother and a good mother can be stressful. You're busy taking care of dad and the kids. Your Christian duties becomes a challenge. Well, let me tell you something. God's there to help mom as she needs to be strong. And God's there to help a dad and a husband as he needs to be strong. There are people in here that lead. I look around, there are business owners, and there are people that you're the supervisor, you're the foreman, you lead. Let me promise you something. God helps strong people too. I have been in positions of leadership since I was a very young man. And I have to tell you, in a position of leadership, sometimes you're not real sure when do you get help and when do you not? And when does leadership demand that you just step up and do it yourself? And when does leadership say you bear your own burden? And when does leadership tell you to just suck it up and take care of it yourself? All of that becomes a little confusing, and I think sometimes sincerely confusing. But let me tell you something. If you fill the position of leadership, God helps. God's there to help you. Business owners that carry a burden, God wants to help you. Those in the ministry that have positions of leadership, God wants to help you too. Help is not just for the sick, it's for the healthy also. Help is not just for the unsuccessful, it's there for the successful as well. Help is not just for the sick, but it's there for the healthy. Help is not just for the weak, or help is not just for the follower. Help from God is available to the leader also. I'm glad as a pastor, there's help available. I'm glad as a pastor's family, there's help available. There are people in here that understand a pastor and his family. If you've never been there, you don't understand it. You don't have a glimpse of what it's like. You know what's expected of you. You're to step up and lead. You're to be kind to everybody, no matter what they do to you. You got to be kind. You got to be friendly. And then you'll be misjudged if you get hurt. Well, let me tell you something. I am so glad that there is help. Because my family, other families in here that have experienced that type of scenario in the church, if it were not for God's help, you couldn't make it. You could not make it. The expectation placed on the spiritual leadership of a church is sometimes unjust, and it's not fair, and it's judgmental. So how are we going to make it through this? I'm told to be nice to everybody, and to smile, and to be happy, and to take it. God will help. God will help. I have not yanked anyone's head off yet. But I would have. Had God not stepped in and gave me help that was supernatural help while the expectation of those in leadership of the church, it's incredible sometimes. But God helps. If you're in a leadership position, let me tell you, God said, I'm not going to just help the follower that needs help. I'll help the leader that needs help too. And when you're the leader, sometimes it's just confusing. When do you get help? When do you not get help? I love what the Bible teaches us. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God is a very present help. God will help us with our infirmities. God will help us when we fear men. God will help us when we don't have young people, when maybe mom or dad are not what they need to be in helping that young person. God said, I'll help you through that. God helps us when we have needs. God helps us in times of trouble. God helps us when our hurt is self-inflicted. God will help us when nobody else will help us. And God will help even the mighty. Do you get the idea that God wants to help you? I think God wants to help you. I don't remember how old I was, but the yard, the lawn that we had when I was growing up is probably about maybe 2/10 of an acre. And my dad had an old push mower my bicycle was a Western Flyer, and we had a push mower from the very same place, and my dad would mow the yard. I remember I must have been about 4, and I remember one day my parents came home, and they had been to the Val Discount Center. Now, you might not know about Val Discount Center, but I did, and they had bought me a little plastic lawnmower. And little plastic dude, and when the wheels would turn, he'd go, and it just gave you the impression you were mowing the yard. I remember my dad went out on that Saturday to mow the yard, and I got my mower out. I was a little codger, and I got my mower out. My dad was pushing his mower, and I was right behind him. And he turned around, and he said, "You're my helper." I felt so proud. I was his helper. And from that day to this, I've wanted to help. And I realize that our Heavenly Father wants to help us. Simple illustration, but the ant bites, kind of my fault, kind of the ant's fault. You say, well, you shouldn't have been in their territory. Those planters are my territory. They should have been in my planters. But you know what? They bit me. And it hurt, and it was self-inflicted. And it rubbed me raw, and it lingered. I needed help. And I don't know what you need today in regard to help. And I hope we'll help each other. But just in case, God is available to help. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would someone here tonight say, "Preacher, the sermon is timely. I need some help." Is there anybody here tonight would raise your hand and say, "That's it, I do. I need some help. I just see it in my life. I need some extra help." And those hands are up. And God bless you. You may put them down. If you need a moment at the altar, don't be afraid to come up here and get on your knees for a moment and just tell the Lord. As you pray up here silently to yourself and to God, you come up and say, "Lord, help me. I need some extra help." Whether you're a teenager, a child, a parent, a leader, a follower, maybe there's an illness in your body that nobody knows about. Maybe there's a heartache. Maybe there's something you say, "Preacher, the burden is so big I've never told anybody because I really don't think anybody could help." But God can help. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need help in a special way? Is it with your health? Is it with a particular need? Is it because maybe somebody's threatening you? Maybe somebody's being evil toward you? Maybe it's a self-inflicted burden, something that you have created. Is it a fear? Is it an infirmity? Is it that nobody else seems to care? Is it a time of trouble? Is it with your emotions? Are you troubled within your spirit? Maybe it's a young person that says, I just don't get the help I need at home. I don't get help with my Christianity. Help. Now, maybe you cause your own hurt. God even helps the mighty. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Bible says, so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." The Bible says, "Thou art the helper of the fatherless." The Bible says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. The Bible says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. The Bible says, and him that hath no helper will I help. He even said, I'll help the mighty. I'll help the mighty. I'm glad there's help in our time of need. Thank you, Mrs. Young.